Good morning.
Welcome to First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We are the loving church with Jesus at our heart. We have two visitors right there. A couple, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm David Capobianco.
We understand. You're his wife. Okay, you recently located. Well, relocated. Well, welcome. And if someone hasn't showed you yet, the welcome cards are in the seat back in front of you. Okay, welcome. And when you complete it, when the offering plate goes around, you can just put it in the offering plate. Announcements. We will hold an Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, February 26th at 11:30 a.m. The 3x5 card inserted in your bulletin will be used as part of the worship service today as we prepare ourselves for Lent. The burning of the cards will be part of our worship service and will provide ashes for the Ash Wednesday service. Did anyone not get a card in your bulletin? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay. Here comes. Irene, do you want to explain what they're supposed to put on the cards?
No, that'll be part of the sermon.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So don't write your grocery list on it.
Okay. Thank you to everyone who gave so generously to our Week in Compassion offering on Sunday, February 16th. You donated a total of $467.76 through your blessing boxes. We hope this represents the many blessings you receive on a daily basis. Next Sunday at 3:30 in the Fellowship Hall will be the first session of our Lenten study led by Pastor Irene. Come to the study and also invite a friend. Paul has an announcement?
Yes. 13th of March, 6 o'clock p.m., we're going to have bingo and dessert from your friend. There's anything next week? So the 13th at 6 o'clock, bingo and a dessert. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Judy?
It's that time again, as I announced last Sunday, for the Camp Christian Barbecue. And what I need from you today are your orders. You can have chicken or pork, it's $10. I need to place the orders tomorrow. I and Pat Wilson will go and pick them up next Saturday. They allow us to begin picking up at 4. Takes about an hour and a half or so to get back. So we'll be down there when they begin allowing us to pick up, and we'll bring things back between 5:30 and 6 for those who would like to eat here or take it home, whatever you want. It's chicken and or pork, and they give you hash and rice and so on. So if anyone would like to place an order, please do it today before you leave church. After church, we can do that. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. I'm bringing it in next Saturday, and it'll be between 5:30 and 6 by the time we get here. If anyone wanted to donate any cookies, cakes, or anything to be sold there, I would have them today or by Thursday. If you let me know by Thursday, I'll be here on Thursday to take down. That money all goes to help to reestablish Camp Christian, which we had for years and years. I know Miss Eliza and some folks had gone as children. She taught there. And we're trying to bring it back to what it was for our children as a summer camp.
So already have children now, we'll send them.
Or grandchildren, or grandnieces and nephews. It's down at Hampton is where it's located, just outside Hampton. Any other questions? Thank you. Please see me today for orders.
Any other announcements? If not, let's stand as we are able for the call to worship, which is on the for our guests is on the inside front page of your bulletin. Blessings to God who gives hope in the darkness of our lives.
Blessings to Jesus Christ who reveals God's love unto the world.
Blessings to the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be a light for others.
Blessings, honor, and glory to God, today and forever. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, number 529, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me.
Pray together. Dear God, we good. Thank you for the opportunity to worship with you today. Thank you for safe travel for all of us to this place. We ask your blessing on each person gathered here and on those members that are not able to be with us today. May they feel your presence and our love. And now be with us as we worship you through our songs, through scripture, through word, and through fellowship. Hear us as we pray the way you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship as we stay seated by singing our praise hymn, number 99, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Good to see everyone today. It's especially good to see Hal. We have missed him so much, and now I can feel like the backside of the church is going to be in the right place. So, And also good to see Ernestine and Maria back. And so when y'all aren't here, we miss you. So we're glad that you're back. I have some word of thanks to say. Susan, thanks for being the DWF treasurer. And to Shelvia, who's not here today, for being the publicity director. And to Jim for being the treasurer of our church. Then I have prayer request for Chuck Bassey having surgery tomorrow.
Tuesday,
okay. Will he be in, or is that outpatient or inpatient? He'll stay in a couple of days? Okay. And Paul Wilson?
What did I do?
You're on our prayer list. We're going to pray for you.
We need to be. Had prayers for our world.
And Caroline, who's not here today, we want traveling mercies for her and her son, who are doing a cross-country trip with a new-to-them car. Ernestine's daughter's in-law's mother? Is that? Okay. Ada Britt, is that her name? Okay. And Judy, you're getting a new car?
Maybe someday, if it ever gets here.
All right. And our country, of course, the USA. And then pray that the Camp Christian barbecue is successful. Also, Shelvia is not here today, but yesterday, Curtis's mom turned 100. And so they had a drop-in for her at the Hitchcock Center where she lives. And when she sent me the text about it on Thursday, I had my 7-year-old grandson with me. And so I was telling him about being invited to a 100-year-old birthday party, and he got real quiet. And all of a sudden he said, "How old can you get?" And bless his heart, I've laughed about that all week long because I know he thinks I'm ancient, but 100, that was amazing. So, all right. So we want to keep them in our prayers as well. Any other joys or concerns? Laura. I mean, not Laura. Paula.
I have a prayer request.
Okay. Carrie Craig. Okay. Okay. Any others? Buzzy, did your sister get a good report?
I haven't heard.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray together. Gracious God, we come to you with joyful hearts today. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain that has stopped, at least temporarily. We thank you for the beauty of the earth that you have given us to live in. We also thank you for this congregation and for the love that is shared for you and among us because of you. Dear God, we give you thanks for our opportunity to lift each other in prayer. We pray for Chuck as he goes into surgery on Tuesday. We pray for the surgeons and the nurses and doctors that will be taking care of him. We also pray for Ida as she waits and also as she watches as he recovers. God, we pray for Paul, pray for Caroline, we pray for Ida Britt, we pray for Judy and her new car. And dear God, we pray for Camp Christian. You know that the life that it has had in the past, and you know the dreams that people have for it in the future. But between the dreams and now comes a lot of work. And we pray for our region and for the Camp Christian team as they work together to make this a viable ministry for your children again. Dear God, we pray for Carrie Craig as she goes to surgery tomorrow. We give you thanks for the healing that we have seen and that Hal has experienced and that you have brought him back with us today. We thank you that Ernestine and others are here that have not been here for a while. God, we give you thanks for people living 100 years, and we pray for Curtis and for Shelvia and for his mother as they celebrate this milestone. We give you thanks for Eliza and for the birthday that she celebrated this week. We pray for those that are dealing in grief, dealing with illness, loneliness, depression, sadness. You know each person's heart, and you know what they're dealing with. And help us to help each other, and help us also to continue to seek your help. We pray for our country. We pray for our country, especially during this election process, that people can be safe and can be civil and also exercise the freedoms that make us such a wonderful country. We continue to pray for the coronavirus and for all those affected by it, for the country of China as they deal with not only the physical ailments, but the financial and other ramifications from such a large-scale disease. Be with us as we begin Lent. Prepare our hearts for walking with you to the cross. Make us mindful of our sins and also the power of your forgiveness of them. Guide our steps and bless us now in all that we say and do. A few months ago, I took it upon myself to start making a loaf of bread so that we could have a bread to break for communion. And last Sunday and this Sunday, there is no bread because my life has gotten a little bit nuts. And at first, I keep losing my retainer, I'm sorry. At first, I was going to tell Don to take the plate away. But since he already had it out there, I was so glad he didn't. Because as I stood up here and looked at that empty plate, it reminded me that we can come to this table empty and we will be fed. And that the communion and the Lord's Supper that we celebrate is not dependent on us making bread. Because Jesus has already told us that he is the bread of life. So join me at this communion table, whether you come full or whether you come empty. Stand if you're able to sing 384. Here at thy table, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. We're taught that when the Lord, on the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
For the bread. Accept us, Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to your table. We try to come as your responsive servants, wanting to learn here the ways of your love. As we break this bread together, we do so accepting your authority over our lives. Only your loving, forgiving grace can give our lives meaning and sense. We come before you seeking to learn. Teach us in these special moments of communion the way of your steadfast love, and teach us how to walk humbly in your way. Amen.
Body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
Our prayer for the cup. Dear God, we are gathered around this table in memory of your Son, Jesus Christ. You know our strengths and you know our weaknesses. As we partake of this cup, strengthen us that we may face the demands of daily living. Help us to experience your strength in our times of weakness. As we recall the agony of his death and the glory of his resurrection, may we be worthy of his promise of everlasting life. Increase our faith, O God, and renew us with a life of dedicated to your serving. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. And now let us worship God through our giving. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to worship you through giving. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us. And now we ask your blessing on these gifts and on their use to further your kingdom here through this church. In Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Please stand if you're able with the singing of the doxology. Thank you. You may be seated.
Morning. The reading today is Numbers 22-21 through 34, and it's a long one. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me, and if only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "I am not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with the sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from these three times. If I had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." May God bless this reading and hearing of God's holy word.
That's a great story. We're going to get there in just a minute. But today in the Christian calendar, it's known as Transfiguration Sunday, which is the Sunday that moves us from Epiphany into Lent. Now, Lent officially begins on Wednesday with our Ash Wednesday service, and it ends on Easter Sunday. So I hope that you and your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors will join us here at 11:30 on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday service. If your work prevents you from coming to our service or something else prevents you, find a church near where you are and go so that you can begin Lent with that Ash Wednesday ritual. But today, in addition to being Transfiguration Sunday, is also the fifth and final Sunday in our current Stories of the Bible series. We have revisited very familiar stories such as Abraham and Sarah, Jesus feeding the multitude, Daniel in the lion's den, and Jesus healing the man at Bethesda. All of those were stories that everybody in here knew and had heard many, many times. Today's story, well, I have to admit, I didn't even know it was in the Bible until I went to seminary. And they give you this list of obscure passages where you have to try to preach from. And when I read that story, I thought, how in the world is this story in the Bible? Now, I have never preached from it before. And I, other than those few brave souls in my preaching class that tried to do it, I've never heard a sermon on this story before. But it's a fascinating story, and it's perfect for Lent, as we move into Lent. This story about Balaam would be fascinating with or without the donkey. I hope you'll take time this week to read the whole story. It begins in Numbers 22 and goes through Numbers 24. Read it for yourself, because where we joined in is about two-thirds of the way into the story. Before the part that Laura read, and thank you, Laura, the Israelites, you know, Moses had them on the move. They were moving along, and they were camped out of Moab. And Balak, who's in the story, is the king of Moab, and he didn't like these Israelites camped out there because they were making him nervous. There was a big number of them. They were God's people, and he wanted them gone. And Balaam, he had the reputation of, and I can't think of that word. I mean, I know the word, but I don't say it right. Divination? What was it? Divination. It's somebody that can give blessings and curses. And Balaam had an excellent reputation for being able to give excellent blessings and excellent curses. In fact, Balak said to him, I want you to come work for me, because who you bless is blessed and who you curse is cursed. And so Balak, the king, was trying to pay him to come and go out and do a curse on the Israelite people so they would leave. Now, Balaam is not a Hebrew person, and yet he's listening to God. That's a significant part of the story, because God is not just for the Hebrews. But Balak had come to Balaam twice with lots of money and lots of prizes to say, come and do this. And Balaam talked to God, and God said, no, you don't curse my people. And so he didn't do it. And then right before our story today, he and Balak kind of have a little argument, and Balak says, I have sent people for you, I have paid you, I need you to come. And so Balaam left, and God tells him to go, and he goes. But God tells him, go and do what I tell you to do, which we all know would not be to curse the Hebrew people. But then the story gets, where we picked up with it, gets a little bit confusing, because we're told that as Balaam left on the journey, God got angry at him for going and sent an angel three different times to block his path. Now, if God sent Balaam to go, why would God get angry when he was doing what God told him to do? Well, that's actually a very key question to our meditation today. And I looked it up at different commentaries, and they have a lot of different offers of why that might happen. But I've chosen two. One is the suggestion that Balaam misunderstood God, that maybe God didn't say go. Maybe God said no, and Balaam, hearing what he wanted to hear, heard go. Now, you know, that's something I can relate to. I don't know if you can relate to it, but something that I have prayed about for so long, and I know the answer I want, and I hear it, and I assume it comes from God, and sometimes it comes from my own imagination. We pray for something, and we get it, and we assume God said do it, and maybe, just maybe, God didn't say it at all. Another suggestion that I liked was that God did say go, but when Balaam got up to go, that God, who knows not only our actions, but God knows our intentions, God knows what we're about to do, that perhaps God looked at Balaam's heart and realized, you're not going to do what I want you to do. You're going to do what he wants you to do, which is to curse the Hebrew people. We also know something about that, don't we? That when we get ready to go do something, that we want God to bless our will, our direction, instead of us being disciplined enough to be in line with God's will. So God tries very hard to rescue Balaam from a mistake, because he sends a messenger or an angel. And we're told that in the Old Testament, when God sends a messenger, just like in our very first story, when God sent a messenger to Abraham and Sarah to tell them about her baby, these messengers look like people, so that you wouldn't necessarily know it's a messenger of God. But the donkey recognizes that this is a messenger of God, and Balaam obviously does not. And so the donkey is an excellent friend. He tries three different times to get Balaam to stop going the path that he is going. And each time, and Laura told me she didn't want to read this part, but you have to read this part to get the story. Each time, instead of Balaam trusting his donkey, he beat him. They say that, you know, don't shoot the messenger. Well, in this case, Balaam, he was beating the messenger. But the donkey's actions saved Balaam's life. God tells him later, I would have killed you if you had kept coming. Now, nobody here, I don't think, rode a donkey to church today. But we do have people in our lives that show us where we need to go and where we don't need to go. And we, each of us here, are the trusted people for someone else who can't see the block that's in their way. Stopping someone or being stopped by others is an important part of the community of faith. It can also save lives. Now, Sam had no idea that I was going to preach on this today, and when we were back in the choir room getting my robe and her robe on, I told her something about Joey that I needed her to pray about. And what I wanted her to fix him. And what she told me was what I did was wrong. And I love you for that, Sand, because that fit not only in what I needed, but it fit in this sermon perfectly. Because we have to have people in our lives that say, no, don't go that way. Look right up there. God's trying to tell you, don't go that way. Have courage when our friends and loved ones don't have their eyes open. Have courage to say, no, don't go. In this Lent, I invite all of us to pay attention to what path we are walking down. Are we walking on the path that God has said yes to? Are we walking on a path that we have said yes to? Are we walking on a path with our own will at heart, or are we going to do God's will? We need to stop when these voices come to us, whether it's from a donkey like in this story or from a trusted person in my story. We need to have our eyes opened to the angels who are blocking our path. Now, after God allowed the donkey to talk to Balaam, and then Balaam got his eyes opened. But I love that conversation between that donkey and this person, because the donkey says, what have I done? The donkey knew he was doing the right thing. But when God opened Balaam's eyes, after the donkey helped him open his eyes, he realized, oh my gosh. And what he said was, I have sinned. I will go back. Now, sometimes, especially during Lent, when we assess our paths, we do. We're on the wrong path, and we need to turn around and go back. Other times, this time, in Balaam's case, God said, no, go. Now that I've got your attention, go, but go for me. Don't go for you. Go and only speak the words that I, God, put in your mouth. Now, sometimes our words get us in big trouble. And I wonder about Balaam. If he had gone to do what he wanted to do, if he would have really succeeded. He might have pleased the king, but he probably would not have really succeeded. God had better plans for him. I have sinned. What a powerful word for Lent. Lent. We're entering a season on Wednesday about penitence, about being mindful of our sins. What are we doing wrong? Sins that can be confessed and can be forgiven, but yet they are obstacles to our path of going where God wants us to go and doing what God wants us to do. Now, I grew up Southern Baptist, and sin is They really love sin, and they make you feel real guilty about sin, so I can do that. But I remember when I was in seminary learning a theological definition of sin, that sin is anything that separates us from God, from others, from self. I would also add nature, because I think we can certainly sin against our own earth. God usually sends messengers or angels to get our attention when we are sinning. And instead of being open to it, often we are like Balaam and we just get mad. Rather than stopping and saying, God, did I misunderstand? Or God, am I headed in the wrong direction? Or God, I know I want to serve you, but help me. This is one of the benefits of having a six-week Lent period, because we get 6 weeks to look at our own path and look at our own self and learn to trust God and trust others with our sins as well as our goodness. Now, this Wednesday, we will gather here again in worship, and we will get the sign of the cross on our foreheads as we are reminded of our own mortality, that from dust we came and from dust we shall return. But we need ashes for that. And last year we did this and it worked well, and so this year we're doing it again. Some churches use a palm fronds from last year's Palm Sunday, but this card thing worked for us, and several of y'all asked me if I would do it again. So each of you have a card. You're invited to think about it for a minute and write something that's in your way between you and the glory of Easter. It could be your path. It could be a sin that you are aware of. It could be your mouth. It could be anything that God has put on you that you need to let go of, to surrender, so that Easter and this Lent journey will be much more glorious. Last year, we took the cards in this bag, not that one because we burned it up. But we took it out front, and I invited people to come out and watch us burn, and I think we had about 10 or 12 at watch. But it was so powerful to me and to those that were standing there watching it that this year I decided we would do that as part of our worship service. We will move worship outside. We do this on Christmas Eve with our candles, and it works. So as you leave the sanctuary, I'm going to explain it more in a minute, I'm going to be standing there with this bag, and you can place your card, if you have one, in there. And if you don't have anything written on it, just put a blank card in, knowing that something will come to you about this week, about what your Lenten journey, what you want to give up for Lent. And then we will go out. I got a table out front, and we will burn the card, the bag, and then we will have our benediction and our last song. And in your bulletin, not only do you have your card, but you have the words to our going forth song. And then on Wednesday, we will take these very same ashes that we have created and use them in worship to claim our own mortality. Now, no one will see your card but you. You can even fold it up as you put it in the bag. As soon as the bag is done, we will go outside and burn them, so they will be released to God. Now, I have asked Natalie to play through our hymn of invitation one time before we sing, so that you have time to fill in your card. And then after she does that, then we will stand and sing the hymn of invitation. And if you don't want to write anything on a card while she's playing, just pray. It's all voluntary. And then we will move outside and continue our and close out our worship there. Sing and then come out last. We all stay until everybody's out and then keep singing. To stand and sing, we will begin singing in just a minute. But be sure and take your song. Do it that way. We can do that now. Now, if you'll join me in walking outside, and I'll take your card as you make a little circle, or if you want to stand up on the rail, that's fine too. Just a card. Hey, Brian. Thank goodness it's not raining. All right. All right, I don't have a loud voice, so I don't know if y'all can hear me. But just as the fire has burnt up our cards, that's how Christ's forgiveness can cleanse us of our sins. So I pray for each of us that Lent will be a time of honest reflection. There will be a time where we can offer up our sins or our blocks to Christ and let him remove them from our lives. So hear now this benediction. God bless us as we leave this place. Help us to be mindful of the paths we are on and keep us in your love and care. Now we will, the choir leading us, we will sing a cappella. God dismiss us with your blessing. It's a, everybody, you got one in your bulletin if you brought it out. You didn't bring it out.
Dismiss us with your blessing. Fill your hearts with joy and peace.
Thank y'all, and hope to see everyone on Wednesday.